Our scripture passage for this morning is going to come out of Peter's first letter, 1 Peter 1, verses 13 to 22. But before we read that together, I want to just touch on something we talked a little bit about last week, and that is that the main theme of this book of 1 Peter is how do we handle suffering? At least one of the main themes is how do we handle the troubles of our lives? How do we handle it when things seem like they're falling apart, when somebody we love dies, when we get sick, when we lose a job, when we have a financial crisis, when perhaps we face persecution or mockery for believing in Jesus Christ? What do we do at that time? How do we handle those things? Peter is writing to a church that is experiencing that. They're struggling. They're facing some financial challenges and some level of persecution. It's starting for them. And so Peter starts, and he does what I think pastors do who are good and healthy pastors. He starts with words of comfort. Right? Last week we looked at that. He says, we grieve because we live in a broken world. We grieve when bad things happen to us, but we also rejoice because we have hope in Jesus Christ. And so he starts with that word of comfort. And he picks up on that theme of hope as we turn to verse 13. Peter says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And so set your hope on that grace. Set your hope. Do that. And then this, and this is fascinating. I think it's significant that Peter goes here next, because he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear, in awe of God. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. No, not just precious things like perishable things like silver and gold, but the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere, genuine, purified love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I said at the beginning of this, again, Peter starts off writing to people who are in trouble, and he does what pastors do, right? He brings comfort. He brings encouragement. He brings strength. He says, hang in there. I know it hurts. Go ahead and weep, but hang in there because someday it's going to get better. And he brings that word of encouragement. But then immediately, the next thing he does, and like I said, I find this fascinating, he gives a challenge. He says, be holy, okay? Be holy. Holy. And in some ways, I kind of think, Peter, are you sure you want to go there? I mean, why does Peter do this? Why does Peter call these people to be holy during the troubles of life? Well, on the one hand, and we need to recognize this, the most important reason is because the call to be holy is one of the main calls of the Bible. I mean, if we are God's people, if we belong to Jesus Christ, if we were God's people in the Old Testament, we would know that God says to us, be holy, okay? Be holy. The word holy is used over 500 times in the Bible, and it's what we are called to be. It is a significant thing. We go back to Exodus 19. Before God gave the Ten Commandments, he says, first of all, you got to remember this. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Israel was to be holy. They were to be set apart. They were to be distinct. They were to be available to God. Chapter 22 of Exodus, God says, you are to be my holy people. Going into the book of Leviticus, there we get a lot of this. But chapter 11, verse 44 says this, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. And five times in the book of Leviticus, God says, be holy for I am holy. Be holy because I am holy. Five times he says that in Leviticus. We come to the New Testament. If you say, well, that was for the Old Testament. No, it's not. Look at what Paul says in his letter to the Romans. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, we are called to be holy. To the church of God in Corinth, those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people. Throughout the New Testament, we are called to be holy. We are called to be godlike. And so part of it is just saying, hey, it's part of who we are. Part of something. Peter knows something. And I, as a pastor, I think Peter has seen it in his own life. I think he's seen it as a pastor. But the reason, part of the reason he says be holy here is because he knows that in times of trouble, we're especially vulnerable to sin. We're especially vulnerable to temptation. You know how that is when things aren't going well, right? You're struggling. Things aren't happening well. You know, you're having a financial crisis. You can't afford to buy anything. It's all that. You know what? You start to feel like, I deserve a break. I deserve to feel good, right? So many things have gone wrong in my life, so I deserve to feel good. When we are going through struggles, so often we say, you know what? I deserve something. I deserve to go out. A number of people who've done damage by saying, man, I had just a horrible week. I'm going to get drunk. I had a horrible week. I'm going to go eat too much. I'm going to binge on this. I'm going to binge on that. And it's like, no. Be aware. And be aware when you feel like you've been treated unfairly. That it's real tempting to say, well, then if they're going to do that, I get to do this. And we tweet or we email or we Facebook nasty stuff. Well, this is how they're doing it, so I get to do it too. And I think Peter is aware that when we are in times of trouble, we need to hear God's call to say, be holy now too. Be holy now too. I've had a couple of people in my life who have done this in love, who have come to me and said, Ron, I know this is a tough time. I know what you're going through is not easy. But basically, they said, don't do anything foolish. Don't do anything foolish. You're going to be tempted now because it's not fair. It's not right. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Don't do anything foolish. Don't jump into sin. Basically saying, be holy, especially in times of trouble. And so I say that, I think, just as Peter does as a pastor to people he cares about and loves. When you are in times of trouble, don't do anything foolish. Be very careful. Be very careful, because it's going to be so tempting at those times to say, I deserve this. It doesn't matter. My wife had an affair. I get to have an affair. This happened bad there. I get to do this. No. Be holy. But especially in times of trouble. So let's talk about holiness. Whether you're in a time of trouble right now or not, we all are called to be holy. Let's talk about it. And whenever we think about holiness, there are two truths we got to remember. And I'm going to repeat them. And hopefully, you many of you know these already. But two truths that we have to hold on to. The first is that if we are in Christ, we are already right now holy. All of our sins have been washed away. And I can come into God's presence and say, I am holy. I am holy because Jesus Christ has washed away all my sins. And by God's will, Hebrews 10:10, by God's will, we have been made holy. Past tense, we have been made holy. If we are in Christ, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So at one level, we need to understand in our standing before God, we are holy. But we also have to recognize the Bible makes clear that if we are in Christ, we are called to become holy. We're not there yet. We're called to be sanctified. We're called to become looking more and more like Jesus Christ. We're called to be different and changed and new. And we're called to grow in Christ. And these two, we need to hold them together. And that's not easy. For most of us, if we look at the Christian church history, if we look at our own lives, we can see those times where it's like, it's grace, it's grace, it's grace. And that's 100% correct, friends. My sins have no hold on me. I am completely forgiven. It's all grace. But I need to be holy. And I get on a kick of that for a while and say, God, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to fight against sin. But then I can easily fall into legalism. And so I come back to grace. It's both and again. 100% I am holy. 100% I need to become holy. So let's think about that. And we're going to ask two questions this morning. First of all, what does holiness look like? And what does a holy person look like? And then second, we're going to look at why should we be holy? At least for me, being holy isn't easy. So I need some good motivation. Why should I fight against sin? Why should I do this? It's just so much easier to go with the flow. So much easier to go with the crowd. So why should we be holy? Let's start with that first one. What does holiness look like? And a couple of things, and maybe this is for us who are older that we have this, but the word holy doesn't have a great feel for a lot of us, right? And so let's recognize when we talk about being holy, we're not talking about being holier than thou. Sometimes when we think about who is holy, it's those people who are looking down and judging everybody else and clucking their tongues at those evil people out there. You are so naughty. You are so bad. You are so evil. And we think of, little old church people who are just so upset with all those bad, naughty people out there. That's not holiness. It's not holiness at all. That's judgmentalism. That's worldliness. It's not sitting home doing nothing. Again, sometimes you think, well, the holy person is the one who never goes out. The holy person is the one who just sits and says, I'm not going to do anything wrong. That's not holiness. Holiness is involved in this world. Holiness, and I'll give you a little bit, think about it. You want to know the best picture of holiness? It's Jesus. Jesus, who laughed, who loved, who walked, who ate, who did all sorts of things. That's what holiness looks like. Holiness gets involved. Holiness goes deep. Holiness goes wide. Holiness cares. Holiness loves. It's not doing nothing. So what is it? We'll come back to Jesus in a minute. But two parts, really, to holiness. The first part is that we got to be separated from sin. It does involve that separation from sin. It involves that saying, I will not do that. Peter talks about being separated from our old evil desires. There are going to be two ways that we got to be separated from sin. The first one is that separated from our old evil desires. Verse 14, he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Peter says, look, you belong to Jesus. So don't give in to those old things. Be separated from your old evil desires. And again, this has the idea of being purified, refined. We talked about that with gold last week, right? That when gold is taken out of the ground, it's not pure. It's got junk in it. It's got dirt in it. It's got stuff in it. And it needs to be purified. You need to get rid of those impurities. And it goes through heat. And then you take off the dross, the stuff that's not gold, and you get rid of it. That's what Peter is talking about here. You know, he said, we were created by God. I was created by God. You were created by God to love God, to love our neighbors. I was created by God to worship God and to share and to live with open hands, to have an orientation towards blessing others. But because of sin, I now have an old nature that's twisted in on myself, that doesn't want to bless others, but it wants to hurt others. It doesn't want to help others. It wants to take advantage of others. It wants to make everything not about you, but about me. And that's my old nature. Those are those old evil desires to use people, to love things, to mock people, right? I mean, it's so, to be angry and to get, those are those old evil desires. When Christ comes in, he gives us a new nature, but those old things are still somehow there. That old nature is still there. And part of what I need to do as a follower of Jesus Christ is to be deeply committed to say, I will not go there. I will starve those things out. I will drown the old man. I will drown my old nature. I hate sin. And I am called to do that, to be separate from those old evil desires. And friends, again, it feels old-fashioned, right? And I'd much rather talk about pure grace being forgiveness. But friends, grace is also the grace to not get caught up in sin, because it kills us. It destroys us. We'll come to that more later. So separated from that old nature inside of me, being holy is putting that to death, not being who I used to be, not doing what I used to do. But it also means being separated from the ways of the world. Okay, Peter calls us here to, well, in verse 17, he says this, and we're going to talk about this more next week, so I'm just going to touch on it. But he says, since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time, how? As foreigners here, in reverent fear. We're supposed to be aliens. We're supposed to be foreigners. We're not supposed to fit in. Peter says, be holy. Don't be like everybody else. Don't respond like everybody else. And this is why, again, you hear it and it's true and we weep over it. And today is part of saying, let's change it. But so often when we look at statistics on how people treat each other, church people and non-church people don't always change all that much. They don't always look that different, and we should. We should not be on Facebook the way everybody else is on Facebook. We should not be talking to others. We should not be grabbing power the way others grab power. We should not be playing those games. We are holy. We are separate. We are different. We'll come back to that next week. But again, we'll be separated from the ways of the world. We are called to live as aliens. So there's this sense of holiness that's saying, and again, this is what a lot of us have been raised thinking about, but it's separate, being separated from sin. And that's exactly right. I need to hate sin. Fact is, if I don't hate the sin in my own life, it's a question of whether I've really understood the grace in my own life. All right? So there's this idea of being separated from sin. But the problem is we in the church sometimes stop there. And what we say is, well, I'm just not going to sin. I don't do that, and I don't go to movies, and I don't play cards, and I don't dance, and I don't whatever this is or whatever that is, right? I'm holy because I don't do those things. It's less than half the equation, because being holy also throughout Scripture involves being available to God. It involves being available to God, to be used by God, to be a tool of God's. Throughout the Old Testament, it's not just people who were holy, there were things that were holy. And to be holy throughout Scripture is to be consecrated. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, right? Set aside for God's use. These things in the Old Testament, they had to be pure so that God could use them. And when I think about one of the reasons, and I'm jumping into the why here, but for me, this is so, again, important. One of the reasons I want to continue to grow in holiness is because I want to be available to God. I want to be useful to God. I don't want my sin to stop God from working. And friends, when we look around us at the number of pastors who've gotten caught in very public, major sins, and they lose their witness, pray for all pastors, pray for your pastors here, pray for the staff here, that we can be, again, not holier than thou, but that we can live lives that don't get in the way of God's mercy, that don't get in the way of God's ministry, right? I mean, when we try to bring the presence of Jesus Christ into our neighborhoods, a situation where a pastor lived across, it's that ways away. I won't mention the town. But pastor, Christian Reformed Church, lived across from somebody who didn't go to church. And I don't think this pastor really got what he was doing. But he actually, this person who didn't go to church at all, the pastor would buy beer, take it over to his house and said, hey, will you keep this in your fridge? Because I can't let my church know that I drink beer. What? Do you know what that did to his witness? You think he had any chance of talking about God's grace? He said, but the main thing we do at church is lie. Friends, I want to be holy so that God can use me. Now again, I'm not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. But man, God, I want to do as much as I can so that your grace flows. And it's interesting to me. Again, the first act of holiness, and I think the Bible would say it's the primary act of holiness, but Peter talks about it. If we're holy, you know what we do? Positively, we love. We are available to God to love others. That's why I went all the way to verse 22. And look at the intersection here. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere, genuine love for each other, now that you have purified yourselves, gotten rid of that junk as much as you can, so that you have genuine, sincere love. Love one another deeply. That's why I want to be pure, so I can love better, so that God's grace can flow through me. So like I said, holiness looks like Jesus, friends. Holiness looks like Jesus. It's loving and serving and giving and washing somebody's feet. And it's being with all sorts of people who are probably telling all sorts of jokes, but somehow not being doing those things. So when you hear be holy, maybe it's best to think be like Jesus. All right, why? Why should we be holy? And I hope we can, because again, I've already touched on one that's obviously I'm passionate about. It's saying, God, I want to be available to you. So please help me not to do things that are going to cause your name to be tarnished. Peter gives four other reasons. First thing he says is one again that we've read throughout Scripture. Be holy because God is holy, right? Verse 15 and 16. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. What does that mean? How does that mind run? And I think this is what we have to remember. This is the key to understanding that our holiness is because of God's holiness. It's this, before God ever says, be holy, God says, you are mine. Before God says, be holy, God says, you belong to me. When God brings his people in Exodus 19, right, it's right after he rescues the people out of Egypt. He saves them. And he says, you're my people. You're my precious possession. You're the apple of my eye. I love you. So therefore, be holy like I am. You see, we belong to God. He is our Father. Peter opens up his book. He says, you have been chosen by God. Now be holy. I belong to God. He's my Father. And if I understand that, if I recognize that God loves me that much, then I want to be with him. I want to be with him, and I want to be holy so I can be with him, and I want to be like him. He is my life. He's the one who gives me life. So I want to be like him. God, Jesus came again to give us life. The world gives us death. Our old nature gives us death. God gives us life. Be holy because I am holy, because I am the one who gives you life, because God is holy, okay? So with all of these, you're not going to remember all four, but just pick one and work on it this week to say, you know what? God, remind me that you are holy, that I belong to you, and I want to be with you, and I want to be like you. Second reason to be holy, Peter says, is because God is going to judge all that is unholy. God is going to judge all that is unholy. The picture in the Bible is that, again, we are saved by grace. So we're not talking about whether we're saved or not. But that when we get done with our lives, we will, as it were, present to God our lives. And there's going to be this huge fire. And it's going to burn away everything that's not holy. And the question is, will we have anything left in our hands? Will we have anything left to give God after the fires? Peter talks about it in 2 Peter, okay? Well, 1 Peter first. Let's go here. But since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live all your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. Here, so don't be like everybody else, because God's going to judge, right? And then 2 Peter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, that idea of refining. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. It's all going to be shown for what it is. Since everything, the next verse, 2 Peter 3:11, everything will be laid bare in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. I want to do the right thing. I want to be holy. I want to love and serve so that on that day, not because it's going to make God love me more, but because he loves me so much, I want to be able to say, thank you. I loved others. I tried my best to love others the way you loved me. And so I think about that judgment day, and I want to have something. I don't want to just squeak by. I want to be able to say, God, I did love that person, and I served that person. And God, I did that. I want to, again, not because it makes me great, but because I want to offer something to God. And so we're holy because God is holy. We're holy because God judges all that is unholy. Third, we're holy because our nature is changed, okay? Because we have been redeemed. We have been changed. We have been made new. Again, another way to look at the story is we were slaves to sin. All right, to emptiness. That's where we were. We were living in the muck. We were living in the quicksand. We were sinking. We were lost, but we've been set free. Israel was in Egypt, slaves to Pharaoh. All of us are slaves to sin, but we have been set free through Jesus Christ. And this is what Peter says. He says, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed, that you were bought back from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. You have been redeemed, Peter says. You've been bought back. You're no longer slaves. You don't have to live in the emptiness anymore. It's been handed down to you by your ancestors, and you haven't been bought with gold or silver. That stuff goes away, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect, we have been set free. And it cost Jesus his life to rescue us. And here's the way it comes to me for a question, that challenge. Think of it this way. Why would we go back to the emptiness? I've been redeemed from an empty way of life. Why do I keep wanting to return to it? I've been redeemed out of my slavery to sin. Why do I keep going back to it? You know, in some ways, I mean, we're like somebody who gets pulled out of the mud and says thank you and then turns around and dives back in it. Or like a little kid who's by a pool, right? Kids do this. They just jump in the water. They go down to the bottom. They do. I've seen this several times. They go down to the bottom. You scoop them up. You pick them up. They go, blah, 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 blah. And at least some of our children and some of our grandchildren, you put them on the side and they go back in the water. Why do you keep doing that? Why? See, I got to understand something, and that is that sin is death. It's hard to remember that because sin looks so good. Sin promises life. Sin promises that I'm going to feel better. I'll be able to get justice if I lie about this. I'll be able to get things right if I do this. I deserve a break. It's only fair that I hurt that company as much as they hurt me, that I hurt that person as much as they hurt me, and then I will feel better. Friends, sin is death. And God doesn't say stay out of sin because he doesn't want us to have fun. I've shared this before, but I sometimes will ask high school students talking about profession of faith. You know, I'll ask them, I'll say, if Jesus came today and said, I can make you holy right now, you'll never sin again. Never another sin. Would you say, A, awesome, do it. Or B, could you come back after college? And usually the answer is, well, there's an honest answer and a right answer, right? But that's the way most of us still are. We have this sense of, well, God, make me sexually pure, as Augustine prayed one night. Make me sexually pure, but not tonight. I've got a date with Susie. Not tonight. And it's like we do that because we don't understand that sin is death and slavery. Be holy because we've been redeemed out of it. We've been lifted up out of the junk. Don't go back to it. Don't. It will kill us. It will cause us great damage. Yes, we will be saved, but in the meantime, we will damage ourselves and others. So God is holy. God will judge. We've been redeemed. And then we've been changed in our nature. We've been bought back. Don't go back into it. But Peter also says, we have been changed in our nature. Verse 14 again. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. And those words, obedient children, in the Greek, it's written this way, actually. It says, as children of obedience. What's the difference? Well, it's not just saying you're a child who's obedient right now, but when, and especially in the Old Testament, and this is carried through here, but when somebody was a child of the devil, your nature is of the devil. You are children of lie. Your nature is to lie. You are children of just, and I say, yeah, but I still got that old one hanging around. But that's not who you are anymore, Ron. You are not that. You are a child of obedience. Your Father in heaven is holy. And sometimes the fact is how we look at ourselves changes how we act, right? I mean, if I see myself as just a wretched sinner, hey, might as well live it out. Might as well go ahead. But if I say no, I am a child of God. I have a new nature. I am a child of obedience. It starts to encourage us. It motivates us. We've been changed, and now we got to live out that new nature. So those four things, all right? God is holy. God's going to judge. We have been redeemed, and we've been changed. Friends, I know everything is good, and just relax in God's grace. And we do that, and you must do that all the time. But friends, if we belong to Jesus Christ Church, we are called to be holy. As families, we are called to be holy. As individuals, we are called to be holy. Now, I know sometimes people have gotten it wrong, but I want to say no. Being holy looks like Jesus. And I beg of you to commit yourself once again this morning to say, not because God's going to love you more, but because God wants to use us. And who we are now is new. So be holy. And especially right now, if you're going through some struggles, be holy, especially in times of trouble. Don't do anything foolish when you're struggling. Let's pray together.